What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, and we're in pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. So, I do want to talk really quickly about Robert Gasser. This guy went for the Brewers. 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts yesterday against the Guardians. Now, the Guardians are without Jose Ramirez. So, that's a very easy lineup right now. I wish I could have gotten better data for Robert Gasser before this one, but he was in Vegas, and you can't really treat that with any sort of real scrutinization. So, scrutiny is what I mean there. And this was a game where his four seam was 14 to 15 inches of vert at a low 23 degree arm angle, which is actually pretty good. That means that's better than what you expect at that arm angle, which is effective. He goes upstairs, and guess what? He used that a ton against righties in two strike counts. 60% plus of the four seamers that threw to righties were all in two strike counts. Now, he got two of those strikeouts against Stuart Fairchild. Say what you want about that. Two of those three, but what I do like here is that the four-seamer is attacking upstairs. He has a sinker and then a sweeper as well. The sweeper did not do its job against lefties, though. It did go away, but not really off the plate away. And then there's nothing else. It's 2.5 pitches. I want to see a changeup for a guy like Gasser to be able to attack right-handers better to get to that two-strike count for the four-seamer. And I'm not sold that it's the sweeper-sinker that really works. I don't think the sinker is well-commanded. And when you throw in the fact that against left-handers, he's not getting that sinker inside, and he's not really overwhelming with the sweeper as much as we want, it's not the most confident play. It's possible he does get he does get Atlanta on Sunday, but it is an expanding rotation for the Brewers with Drohan and Mizorowski and Sproat and Gasser, but then you have Woodruff coming back soon, you have Henderson coming back, of course Kyle Harrison, 7 options here. And yeah, there might not be room for Gasser for a long time. So I don't feel like I need to jump in on this right now because it might not be much runway. Reed Detmers continues to do well as Koufax was very kind in this one. 1 for 42 whiffs on his four-seamer, 1 for 28 on his slider, has 7 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Only 4 whiffs total in this one. The slider, once again, is just kind of there in the zone, and it's not really missing bats and going back foot. It is a little bit scary in my view. I would be very careful starting him in Sacramento Bear, but I understand if you want to keep rolling with it, as that's 3 straight successful ones. I'd much rather go with Justin Robleski, RoboCop. They pulled him at 67 pitches. He could have gone longer once again. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. 96-97 in the first, and he was down to 94 in the sixth, so I understand wanting to pull him at that point. They didn't want to really go down further. But he had an amazing mix of sliders and sinkers and four seamers, and the sinker showed up to be utilized more often than we have seen in the past, right? Remember, four seamers and sliders were generally what we see from RoboCop. This time we saw more sinkers, 75% strikes, and 4 for 4 outs in play is really nice, as the slider was actually allowing more hits than he'd like. So we're in a good place with RoboCop. I do want Robleski to throw more changeups and have a little bit more variety. However, this is working out pretty well. Framber Valdez had a good start against Houston in his old park, and I wish I saw the curveball do well. It just wasn't. 44% strikes, and it was still 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 strikeouts, and 9 base runners, 3 walks, 6 hits. So it's just weird. He just wriggled out of jams with a ton of ground balls, just like the good old days. Now he gets the Yankees twice, and I am scared. Dylan Cease did really well against the Red Sox. Well, I should say it's a C special. 5 innings, 0 runs with 4 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. He got the strikeouts, he got the ERA, and the bad whip. He has a sub-3 ERA right now with a near 120 whip and a 36% strikeout rate. Kind of hilarious. He's so unique in this way. Logan Gilbert is trying to get his ace. He's going to ace tag back. 19 whiffs for a gallows pull is beautiful. 7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. Oh my gosh. So we got to give it to him, right? Well, hold on. Every single Logan Gilbert start is different than the last. This one was so strange. His four-seamer had a 63% zone rate. Not strike rate, zone rate. And no other pitch in his arsenal had higher than a 21% zone rate. Okay? 21% was to his slider, and then he had a 19% on splitters, and the other random things, 0. However, on that slider, it was a 63% strike rate. They chased after it. They had a massive O-swing on it. And is that going to last? Like, is Gilbert going to be able to just kind of throw four-seamers with reckless abandon over the middle of the plate and then have sliders and splitters underneath? I don't know. I still feel like he's a cherry bomb. You don't really know what he's going to get, or what he's going to do every single time, where you're going to get. He does get Boston, and then at Cleveland, and then again at home against the Jays. Man, that should be pretty good, right? Let's hope so, Luke and Gilbert. You have Brandon Young pulling it off for a streaming victory. However, I feel kind of like I'm cheating, because the technical rules of a streaming victory is that it's a quality start, a poor quality start. If you get that, you're good, unless it's over a very poor quality start, right? This was 6 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks with a loss. And I feel like it's a wonka for your standard 5x5 leagues. Like, it doesn't help you. 4.5 ERA, a 1.33 whip, just 2 strikeouts, and you got a loss. But I get a streaming victory. It's weird. Fine. Okay. This was also a strange outing where he went Blake Snell blueprint with 4 seamers up and splitters down. This is Brandon Young returning a 36% strike rate on his splitter. 0-0 for 22 whiffs on splitters to lefties. Now he gets the Dodgers and the Nationals and the Reds? Absolutely not. Foster Griffin did Toby things against the Royals. 6 innings, 1 run. We are happy with this. 8 base runners, 6 Ks. Cool. He's a Toby against a good matchup. That's what we do. Slay Ciccone, I wish I could buy into this more. 5.2 innings of 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. That's 3 straight now of success. 2 were against the Yankees, and then he did this one here, and he had an 88-89 mile per hour cutter. I like that. It is the backbone of what he does. He also had a backdoor sinker to right-handers that got a lot of called strikes. Those two I feel really good about against right-handers. However, left-handed approach is kind of, I'm not really in on that. The best news here, Astros are next. So I understand going for that one because the Astros are a right-handed heavy lineup. You have Hunter Brown, speaking of the Astros, 5.2 innings and 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. Lovely in a still ill. What is strange about this is that his 4-seamer was not good. It was a 50% strike rate. That's supposed to be the foundation for him. He did throw 22% curveballs to both lefties and right-handers, and they had a 35% CSW that really made up for this. While the sinker, it wasn't the best located one, as you normally see it inside, kind of like Zach Wheeler. 2 right-handers, we saw it just over the plate to them, and it worked out for enough strikes. And we're seeing 96 on the 4-seamer fine. Not peak Hunter Brown, but it was the first start back. It was a still ill. We're happy with that, and we're obviously going to start him moving forward. Same with Drew Rasmussen, who got his aces gonna ace tag today. Coronation day. First one ever for Drew Rasmussen. As he went against the Dodgers, 7 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Oh my gosh, this is fresh off the amazing outing of 12 strikeouts, I believe. Maybe it was 11 against the Red Sox. And you do this, another 7-inning game with just domination, with 4-seamers and cutters killing lefties. Oh my gosh, it was awesome. And they also have a surprise changeup for 4-for-4 outs in play to lefties as well. It was so good. 102 pitches, by the way. The Rays are like, yes, go be our ace. We need you. It's about dang time. Brady Singer had his second good start in a row. It was only his third good start of the year. It was the highest CSW's had, save for his first start of the year on March 28th. And this was at 34%. It's a birthday party. 5 innings, 1 run, 6 base runners, 5 Ks against the Mets. Andre Palante, I did see on Reddit, was really surprising, that everyone was upset for me not giving more love to Andre Palante. I was like, what? Other people care about this guy? I thought I was like the only one. 7 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. It's really cool against the Padres. And the Padres are better against right-handers than they are lefties. However, Palante is better against righties because his sinker goes inside and his slider goes away, and those are his two best assets. And the worst one is the 4-seamer that goes on the outer half, and he actually did that. That's great. Not on the outer half. I apologize. The glove side against lefties. He's trying to do that. He did it for the most part. It worked. A lot of called strikes on it too. And I wouldn't even say it's the best command that I've seen from Palante against right-handers with the slider and the sinker, but it was enough. It was dancing with the disco. It's at 88 miles per hour on it. And I guess we go for it with the Diamondbacks and Marlins ahead. But this is like a Vargas rule kind of thing, a Toby at best. Don't go nuts for Andre Palante. Zebby Matthews against the Rangers did well. 7 innings of 2 run ball, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. And the best thing he did today was his slider. It was down against right-handers. Really, really nice there. The left-handed approach, not so good. And this was also Koufax helping a ton. Clearly 4 Ks here in 7 innings. But it was 8 hits. You know, so like he navigated through it. It was Koufax at the right time, right? Here's the biggest issue. You got the Dodgers next and the Yankees in Yankee Stadium in 3. Now, it is Rocky Road in between on next Sunday. So if you have a two-step of the Dodgers and Rocky Road, I wouldn't do it. It's not for me. I just don't think that it's a good enough matchup for you to really go after it. I feel like Zebby's way too much of a risk. Jesus Lizardo did wonderful Jesus Lizardo things. This is why you have him on your team. 7 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 9 Ks. And remember, his struggles at the very beginning, the first couple weeks, have been completely overwritten by the wonderful stretch since. This is why we still had him ranked back then. You have Gerrit Cole doing better than he did against the Guardians. Still not quite at the ace level. 6 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. It's great. I would say as far as the quality goes, it wasn't the greatest command that I've seen from him. But it's still better than what it was last time. Ryan Feltner is the Colorado pitcher. You don't care about that. Adrian Hauser was part of the game with Grant Holmes in the suspended one for Atlanta and the Giants that will be played today. Robbie Ray is going to be the follower because he's going to enter the second game. Sorry, the first game in the second inning. Atlanta will be using a bullpen game. While at night, it's going to be Carson Wisenhunt, who used to throw really hard all of a sudden in like the spring in the early part of the season. Now, I'm very curious to see what we get tonight. He's just going to be a quick sub in, though, guys, just for the extra spot in a doubleheader. And that is not really someone that I would be going for in this situation. And with Atlanta, they're going to throw J.R. Richie in that one, who you don't want to touch, just as a quick heads up there. We have other guys we want to talk about. Jack Perkins did some interesting things. Michael Wacha, of course, Mitch Keller, Peyton Tolley, Eric Cabrera. I'm going to talk about all of that and more after this break. Michael Wacha, 6 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Not the most impressive start, just 2 over 27 whiffs on the changeup. It's fine. I mean, he's been doing really badly lately, and this is a step forward. And now he does get to go to the Trop at Tampa Bay. I think that's okay. I'm going to have him in questionable start there. Jack Perkins, very interesting game. He massively changed his movement. I'm not just saying based on like Vegas or so. Like, I did this based on even last year. And yeah, we're seeing a ton more drop and sweep on the breaking stuff. He has changed a little bit with velocities, but the sweeper was this pitch that just like it got labeled for everything. It was, I even put it inside of the roundup so you guys can look at it. Some of them were like minus 24 sweep and the other ones were like 12. And I just go, what is going on? Maybe it was just strange wind in Sacramento. I don't know, but it was 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. And we did have a careful Icarus here with a home run and a double that led to another run. So it was really one earned run through 5 with 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks right before he got pulled in the 6th. And I'm just going to at least keep an eye on this. He does have also a kick change that had like a negative 6 break, like negative 6 vert at 90 miles per hour. Got a beautiful whiff at the bottom underneath the zone to lefty. Now, he does get the Angels in Sacramento again, and then at LA, and then hosting the Marlins. And that is a good schedule on paper. But then again, of course, Sacramento's in 2 of them. It's hard to figure out. I might take a chance in a 15-teamer with Jack Perkins. I'm going to be monitoring him closely. Mitch Keller did Mitch Keller things. He did actually allow 3 walks in his first 4 batters. And they came around to score, and then he settled down and then allowed a solo shot to end his outing in the 6th. And that was the only other damage. So there's something to be said about that. He did have good feel for the slider and sweeper away down away to right-handers. But yeah, Mitch Keller is Mitch Keller, and we're not going to do that. Peyton Tolley against the Jays. 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He had 4 good innings, and then he started the 5th with 2 solo shots. One was on a changeup, and I'm really happy that he threw a changeup, but it was a bad changeup. Oh my gosh, it was so bad. It was up and over the middle of the plate to right-hander. Like, you can't do that. And then he had a cutter inside to Jimenez that he just pulled and like, all right, you do it. That one is, you just tip your cap to him. Peyton Tolley, he kind of is a little bit of a cherry bomb still. It's good enough with the 4-seamer and sinker and cutter that I think we just got to keep doing it. But there is a precarious floor when the fastball isn't working as well. And I think it's still at a point where I don't trust his fastball as much as someone like Joe Ryan, who relies so heavily on it. Michael King against the Cardinals. I'm going to tell you right now, yes, you can drop him. Why? Because he's going to get the Dodgers twice and Atlanta up next. So it's Atlanta, then the Dodgers twice is what his schedule is. And he just hasn't been good for a bit. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 1 K. It's like a 12% strikeout rate across his last 5 or something. It is rough. He just cannot find his sinker and change of command. So the king has lost his crown, and I have no idea when he's going to get the metal detector to find it on the beach. You have Grant Holmes, as I already mentioned. I apologize. We have Kodai Senga against the Reds. Four innings, four runs, two hits, four walks, and five Ks. This was a still ill. The good news is that he is 96 on his four-seamer, actually going upstairs with intent. The bad news is the cutter and the ghost fork were terrible. They were just friends that abandoned him at the gas station. So I hope that he gets those in check. He's going to go into Wrigley next, followed by Philadelphia and Atlanta. And I'm not going for this until I see definitively that Senga is back. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Edward Cabrera against Rocky Road did not go well. 4.1 innings, 500 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And look, he's a hipster again. Why? Because the changeup, 44% strikes. You can't do that. That is your best pitch. Oh, man. I don't know what we're going to get. And I hate this. I just hate dealing with it. Merrill Kelly also has not been impressive. And I'm really, really disappointed in this one against the Angels in Arizona, where he had a 45% strike rate on his changeup. Can't do that. 5.1 innings of 600 runs, 11 hits. My gosh. One walk and 4Ks. Koufax, you abandoned Kelly for everybody else. But no, seriously, he just was not locating that changeup at all. It was down in the dirt, like an ostrich hiding his head in the sand. And now he does get the Cardinals and Rays, which could be better. But it's seven straight games for Merrill Kelly of just four strikeouts or fewer. Man, two blowups in his last three. And actually, if you want to say that the two whip game was another blow up, I totally get that, near two whip. So I suggest taking a break here from Merrill Kelly. You have Kumar Rocker against the Twins, not looking good. 3.1 innings of six hits, 600 runs, seven hits, two walks, and four Ks. He tried to go dancing in the disco and he just didn't. And there you go. I mean, Kumar Rocker just isn't that good. These are the kind of starts that he's susceptible to. I really don't want to go after him consistently. I do understand in 15-teamer going after him against the Marlins. Speaking of which, Tyler Phillips is on the Marlins, and we did the thing we did with Gusto. We're going to say, look, leave him on the wire, see how he does against the Phillies, and then maybe against the Giants. Nope. Four innings of 800 runs, six hits, three walks, five Ks. We wait for another time, and Davis Martin got blown up by the Yankees. The second blow up in three games. Twins first, and he did well against Atlanta, then terribly against the Yankees. Well, 3.1 innings of 900 runs. Oh my gosh. Eight hits, three walks, four Ks. Now he's going at the Tigers against the Royals and at the Guardians. I still think it can work and be fine. I'm not going to say that Davis Martin's just a horrible pitcher now, but it's regression hitting. And he's a 15-teamer play. 12-teamer? Take a chance if you need it. That's all. All right. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. Remember, you should be getting PL Pro or PL Plus. It's the number one way to stay on top of everything in baseball. We're going to be putting out the beta for the Pro Dashboard in very soon. I can't wait for that. But until then, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your bounce be low and your strikeouts high.